You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey you. If you're listening to this and don't want to hear expletives, you probably shouldn't listen to it. It's gonna get interesting.
Hi, this is Zach from Major Spoilers and Zach on Film, and you're listening to Geek.io, where you put geek in and get geek out.
Welcome, brave adventurer, to the Mana Pool. Join our Dungeon Master CJ as he guides his group through the enchanted pages of the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Our intrepid noobs, Andy, Dale, Jared, and Raoul, are unproven in combat and ignorant of the dangers ahead. They think they're ready for an adventure, but can they handle the Princes of the Apocalypse? You are hearing a live playthrough from Princes of the Apocalypse, a campaign from the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. All mathematical errors default blame to CJ Bo and do not reflect the Wizards of the Coast, the rest of the Geek.io Media Network, its managers, producers, hosts, their families, or affiliates.
Well, that finally went through normal. Hi, everybody. This is the Mana Pool, episode number 6, and or the Geek.io show, episode number 119, whichever you want to call it. I'm CJ.
And I am Jared. Or you could call me Dracu Bloodfang, because everything has two names and numbers today.
Wait.
See how that works?
Yes. Raoul, unmute yourself.
Oh. Come on, Fireboy. Come on, Fireboy. You're
so fire.
I'm the soon to be. I'm Raoul, the soon to be deceased Sabata.
Raoul started the fire.
He did.
But I'm Andy,
playing Dahlgren Brightpath.
And I'm Dale, playing Davdek, or as my friends better know me as Captain Sparklepants.
Oh, the one guy who called you that in the real world is now dead! Oh, wait, shit, I wasn't going to say
anything. Oh, sorry, too soon.
I wasn't going to say anything, but just as a reminder, Mana Pool was brought to you solely by our Patreon over patreon.com/geek.io. If you want this to be more of a permanent weekly show, let us know. Help us get to that small little thing, that little itty-bitty bit of a thing.
A little thing.
That's what she said?
All right, so I'm not going to go into what happened last time. I'm still a little salty about it. Tune in next time. We'll go over exactly what happened in Chapter 1 of Princes of the Apocalypse. But what we're doing this time around is we're not necessarily doing a... We're not doing action this time around. We are actually going to... We leveled up last encounter. Yay, everybody got to level 3. Congratulations.
We didn't die! Woo!
Well, most of us did. Sorry, man.
Yeah. Hey, that's your job.
We were mostly unscathed.
So, as I said, we're going to do a level up show because most classes get stuff at level 3 to do. And kind of starts determining what you're going to do with your characters going forward. So, before we do any of that, like I said, at level 1 and 2, we all got max hit points. However, that changes at level 3. So, unless you guys have roll 20 loaded up and you're ready to roll a hit die for it, just go over to random.org.
No. I think everyone's locked in.
Yeah, everyone's logged in.
Oh, except for me.
Yeah, we're here.
Hold on. Let me log in then.
Well, there, Dungeon Master.
I wasn't going to log in.
Well, nobody told us not to log in, so...
Well, we're doing die rolls.
Yeah, and?
I guess I could pick up the camera and point it down at the table as I roll a dice, which would also work.
Yeah.
We can also do this.
But, you know, we have the technology.
I could get into my drawer here and get my light-up D20. I can get my light-up D10 for you guys. Or I can get my
those light-up D20s? Those light-up D20s, I don't think are weighted correctly.
I don't... I'm starting to think not either because I played with it last weekend.
I rolled
weekend.
A lot of crits with that dice.
Me too. I'm the Dungeon Master of my other game. And... I'm rolling exceptionally well last game. And, I mean, as DM, I tend to roll well. As player, not so much. As DM, I typically roll between 16 and 20. As player, about 6 to 10.
Ooh.
So I'm starting to think that this, you're right, that this is not weighted correctly.
Yeah. Because it was cool, because when we were playing a game, it was like, the game started out as 8 players, went down to 6, but had 2 GMs, and it was like a massive group that we were getting together. And so it'd be cool from across the room, the GMs could see, you know, the dice flashing, and that was cool, but yeah. I was like, this seems like it's rolling a lot of 20s.
I like this because, and I think then if I'm going to come to the, now that I'm feeling it, yeah, it's a lot heavier on one side. And I didn't mean to do that, my Rachel, when you listen to this. But I like it because of my eyes. I have a real, I'm 70% blind. I can see the numbers, which is nice.
But any bigger die won't allow you to do that,
so
too.
I'm going to end up just having to buy a thing of, at my local comic book shop, there's a set of pretty good sized, they also have their ridiculous, like, palm-sized dice.
Oh, yes.
Which would break
the
my glasses.
The giant foam ones?
Oh, yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I want a giant foam one. Like, hold up.
No, oh, yeah, they have a giant, like they have the foam one, but they have the, they actually have, like, hard ones that are the size of your fist.
Cool. Yeah, no,
that sounds dangerous.
Out of context.
So, it's like a giant tube of giant, you know, novelty D4, which is the only D4 you can step on without hurting yourself.
God, yes.
Because, you know, it's
like
a squishy
Legos
one.
All right.
Yes.
So now that I'm logged into D20, that provided some, that roll 20, that actually provided enough time for us to get over to here. All right. So we're going to go up with last in, first out. Raul, roll me your hit die.
Ooh.
So that's D whatever. I'm assuming that's D6?
For a wizard, yes. So you add...
So D6?
2.
Plus your constitution modifier. Oh, he gets a 2. What is your constitution?
My constitution is...
Might be neg 1.
is plus 3? Ability modifier is 13. Ability modifier plus 1, and then racial modifier plus 2.
Racist. So I think that this thing is calculating racial modifiers wrong, because that should just increase his constitution by 2, not add 2 to his rolls.
But no, that increases... No. What it's doing is it's increasing it from plus 1 to plus 2 because it is bringing him up that 1. It's adding 2 to his score, which increases it from plus 1 to plus 2. If it was adding 2 to the rolls, it would go from plus 1 to plus 3.
Okay, so in other words, he gets 4 hit points then.
Yes.
Yes.
No, because his constitution is 13.
But with the racial racial bonus, it's 15.
So that means you just raise his constitution. It's not a racial modifier at that point anymore, at least as far as I've read. That his constitution just starts early. Let's worry about this next show, but 2, so you get plus 2 then.
So
it'll be... four hit points. That's good. Or, you know, 3 or better would have been nice.
Just makes my job easier.
But, you know, we'll take it.
All right. Next up, Driku, because you're the next from the right. On my
from
list.
The right.
From the right.
I believe you're D8.
It's a D8 plus my constitution modifier, or do I get that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a D8 plus 1. Here we go.
Oh, 5. Better than average. That's very
6
good.
6 total, yes. 6 total.
By the way, according to Stack Exchange, so take it as you will, racial modifiers do in 5e increase the... for all rule sets and for intensive purposes, increase the natural bonus. So would his ability score becomes a 15 with the ratio 2.
Right, that's what I was saying. So it's 15, which is calculated because the way we're doing it now, that's how Dale got his bonus hit points. Because it was added to the bonus, not the ability score.
No, so I just had a random.
No, there was a random plus two in the additional eight hit points thing right below the levels.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. For no additional reason. It could have been.
That's why he had two additional hit points, is because there was a two there. I don't know.
Okay, so Driku, good roll with your six.
Next up, Davdek.
Thank you.
Alrighty, I've got 1d10 plus constitutional bonus.
Yep, so you're going to be plus two as well.
Do I add the
constitutional bonus?
Yes.
Is that how well you can?
You don't have to
litigate.
Once you put that number into the character sheet, it's going to automatically take your plus two.
Okay, so
you just roll a d10.
I do 1d10 plus 1d10. Or do I do a 1d10 plus 1?
Just do the 1d10.
That's the ability mode. Okay.
Just do the 1d10.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, but see, that and the ability modifier is plus 1, though.
Plus 2.
Not including the racial modifier. Okay.
Because of the racial modifier. So you're going to get a total of 5 hit points.
Okay. All right.
Okay, here we go.
Dahlgren!
give me a second here. That will be D10 plus 2 is my bonus. Oh, that's terrible! half makes me sad. Less than half makes me sad.
So does the ranger have more health than you do?
No. Andy rolled one better than him.
I have 30 hit points.
I have 29.
There we go. Yeah. It got fixed. It was that random additional plus 2 that was there. It was not the ability modifier. It was probably me when I made the character putting a 2 in there.
Gotcha.
All right.
So in a pinch, we can use the ranger as a meat shield, right?
Well, yeah.
We call it DM favoritism. So there's that.
Oh, I rolled a 4. Man, I was hoping for at least a 5.
29's okay for hit points, though. It's okay.
That is our HP for the turn for the next level. Level 4 is going to be a little bit further away than 3. Obviously, as for you new players and people following home the higher the level you get, the more further and further you get. It only took 900 experience points to get to this point, which technically you
and now
guys got
need to double
middle.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Which technically you guys got in the middle of the last dungeon, if I was calculating experience. But like I said before, I don't like doing that because I don't like doing level ups in the middle of a dungeon.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
It is. So I typically, if I note the fact that you guys are going to be leveling up, it'll happen at the end of the dungeon, which is what happened in this case. I think when you guys fought the Zombears, when you guys leveled up, technically.
Well, the Zombears and the Zomb Lady.
The parents of the little girl?
Yes.
Well, there were zombies.
I don't know. The slaughter felt it appropriate to dress up as a bear.
we just steamed over that like revelation that they were like.
Yeah, you guys are just like, yeah, sure, whatever. They were zombies, don't care.
There's nothing we could do about it.
We found it a bit weird that there was a zombie dressed as a lady and a bear zombie. We found it weird.
Yeah, we perform last rites. I don't know what else we can do.
And a constitutional bonus that you know.
I do not think that word means what you think it means.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Two of our characters got a bunch of stuff. Because they didn't get extra spell slots. I'm going to have to work out something for Raul. No, he got a stick. He's fine.
I'm fine.
A stick. It's a magic stick, but it's a stick nonetheless.
It is indeed a magic stick, but it is still just a stick. A stick
that
shoots
the same way as the spell?
Yes, it is literally you casting the spell without using a... Okay, so leveling up, I gave Raul... since he was the only magic person, but you don't have to attune to magic items in 5th edition, apparently. So this doesn't really matter. Oh. You could give it to Andy for all that matters. He got a Wand of Magic Missile at the end of the last fight, which basically has 7 charges in it. No, you don't need to attune. You don't need Arcane.
Huh. No, I thought you needed to have the spell.
Raul.
Oh, okay.
Dale could have it. So what that is basically it has 7 charges. Each of those charges counts as a level of magic missile. Raul has looked up what each level does. So it's up to him to figure that out and keep track of the charges. After it uses its 7th charge, it becomes not usable at daybreak of every day. It gains 1d6 plus 1 charges back. And I think if you roll a nat 1 on that, it has a chance of breaking. I'm not 100% sure on that. I will have to check up on that.
As soon as he tries to use it... Oh, wait a second. But how could he roll a 1? He doesn't roll the hit.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
No, the 1d6. He rolls 1d6 for it.
Ah, okay. Okay.
That's it? When you're recharging things. Okay, yes. Gotcha.
Yeah. That's me just going with memory, and that's not going to be canon until I can figure out if that's the case.
Look it up.
Yeah, if that's the case, I will let you know. In the meantime... Basically, just don't let it go to 0 charges. That's what we're going to stick with right now.
What,
I might have it just house ruled if I can't figure out anything. If it goes to 0 charges, it just becomes a normal wand.
What I saw in it, is it 1d6 or 1d4?
1d6 plus... No, recharge is 1d6 plus 1. The magic spell that it casts is just your normal magic missile, which is 1d4 plus 1.
Oh, okay.
Per missile. So level 1 charge will be your level 1, which is 3 magic missiles. Level 2 is 4. Level 3 is 5. And blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So right now I can blast 5. Okay.
Technically, right now you could launch 9 magic missiles without using a thing.
That's a lot.
Yes. So, I mean, you could literally just on a boss fight be like, alright, I'm going to use... charges and just machine gun because it's an auto hit.
But it does take 1 action, so I can only do it once a turn.
Yeah, but no, you can. But you can unleash a level 6 magic missile. Is what I'm saying.
Oh,
you could be
without risking damaging the wands because he said it has 7 charges and don't let it get to 0.
Yeah.
So in an emergency, you can let it get to 0, but other than that, like. Conserve them.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I could burn through all 6 in 1 turn.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You're at that point casting a level 6 spell. So, yeah. That's what you got for leveling up because you learn your spells through a spell book.
Yay!
That's good. Spontaneously catch fire soon, right?
Yes. Wow. Strangely enough, for some reason, I won't understand why all of your spell books that touch your hands will catch fire. Oh, darn these really things being made out of paper.
Paper?
Why must papyrus burn so well?
You ever seen paper?
Oh, Raul, you get a magic book falls from the heavens. It has a level 25. Oh.
Oh, that's bad.
No, come on, he could hire someone to turn pages for him.
He's gonna hire some gold out of his bank.
Dabdek, I'll give you 1 gold to hold this book for me.
Yeah, it's an additional 3 gold to turn a page, right?
Capitalism.
Exactly.
We'll talk about this later.
Jazz got some spells going on. He actually has some level 2 spells that he can use now. Jazz, why don't you tell us what spells you now have?
I have some spells and some other spells.
I've got the
dots. Okay, I don't have my spreadsheet open.
All right, so I added Shatter. Level 2 spell, Shatter.
What does Shatter do?
Let me pull up the description real quick so I get it right.
It makes things shatter.
Probably. It probably does just make things shatter.
Yeah, great.
Not very.
It's a like sudden loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of your choice within range. Each creature in a 10-foot radius sphere centered on that point must make a Constitution saving throw. A creature takes 3d8 thunder damage on a failed save. Yeah, you heard that right. Or half as much damage on a successful one.
Oh!
Nice!
A creature made of inorganic material, such as stone, crystal, or metal, has the disadvantage on a saving throw.
Oh! Ooh. So they get to roll twice and take the worst of the two dice. Which is
ouch!
That's no good.
There you
but
go,
I guess it makes...
cleric of Bahamut.
Now we're talking about
he
Bahamut
makes a
spells.
Loud noise. In your
non-magical object. Well, basically, I like make thunder next to your face.
Yes.
As you do.
Like you do.
A non-magical object that isn't being worn or carried also takes damage if it's in the spell's area.
Oh, dang. So you could break doors with it, too. Nice. As long as the doors are not magic.
Indeed.
All doors may be magic.
Noted. I'm just kidding.
I also received fog cloud. You create a 20-foot radius sphere of fog centered on a point within range. The sphere spreads around corners, and its area is heavily obscured. Did I get dropped? Okay.
No, you're
got really quiet.
We're listening.
Okay.
Oh, we're listening.
I was. Well, there was still like a white noise sound that I was hearing before, and it was not there anymore. It lasts for the duration. Or until a wind of moderate or greater speed disperses it.
So it's a wind thing.
Curse this wind.
That would be if we stopped at the Taco Bell.
Oh, that wind.
I was defeated by a breeze. No.
There. That way Jazz doesn't think.
There we go. That's fine. I'll trust it next time. And then, coincidentally, gust of wind. Basically, makes it clear fog and a strong wind 60 feet long and 10 feet wide pushes everyone back 15 feet.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Must
so that could be handy
a
for we need to get out
throw.
Of here. Boom. And then
is that from your
run
wings?
The other way.
Do you have wings, Jez?
I don't know. I didn't
do you
think
want
I did,
wings?
But... Sure.
You're wings a dragonborn. You can have wings. They may not be fully functional, but they do have wings.
It disperses gas and vapor. It can extinguish candles, torches, and similar unprotected plants.
I literally just picked what I found out what you picked that for. Because, oh crap, he set something on fire again.
Yeah.
Gust of wind.
Yeah, we've got a trigger happy fire guy over here.
Wait, well, we have a fire genasi who's a fire wizard. What did you think was going to happen?
He likes fire.
He likes
so
fire. That's great.
I'm so surprised he did not pick, evocation as his school of magic. Because it seems like he would have picked evocation.
Oh, man.
Wasn't one of my options, but that's okay.
Well, you know.
No, not you, Raul. Because he's like Raul. Abjuration or something, which is a school of magic. But evocation is the like, boom, like school of magic.
The
fireball,
boom school?
Lightning
so
bolt.
The boom school.
Change that. Change it. Raul, change it.
Hey, he might want to be a boom.
Oh, look at that. It just changed.
Magical.
And my other level 1 spell.
Oh,
if anyone's interested.
Okay, what's your level 1 spell?
My other level 1 spell was Purify Food and Drink, which does exactly what it says it does.
We can eat zombies now?
Yes. You just go, nom, nom.
Yeah,
feel free to do that.
Like, technically, yeah.
I will probably...
As long as they're non-magical.
Zombies are magical.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Damn.
Sorry.
Necromancy, it's still a magic.
Yes.
Necromancy,
of
TM, it's
disease.
Still a magic.
TM. Copyright.
Alright, so anything else?
That's it. That's all the nifty new things I got. And I can now cast 4 level 1s a day and 2 level 2s. which is exciting.
Oh, nice. Level 2s.
It
can't
feels
do that
like Christmas today. I don't know why. It feels like we're unwrapping all of our presents.
And I chose Gust of Wind because it was my domain spell. But...
Okay.
But maybe to put me out.
And also to put out fire. Just in case.
Oh, players manipulating each other. Fantastic.
I wonder what Dale picked. Because he's also... He's a wind genasi, so...
You never know.
Why do alt codes not... Do alt codes not work on... Google Documents?
Codes?
Alt codes. That's weird.
And I didn't have the ability to choose that gust of wind.
Or it just could be my keyboard being dumb.
Oh, so you have an ability that enhances flame?
Sure, why not? No, I'm just kidding.
Alright, I'm purposely leaving Yandy for the last because of the information he has given me. So, Dale, what happened at your level 3?
I got a lot of things. While we're still actually... You know, I'm going to kind of mix this around. I, too, have now the ability to cast spells.
Ooh. One is Gust of Wind, one is Extinguish Flame.
No,
so yes,
I can
in 5th edition, folks, rangers can cast spells.
And yes. They've always been able to be just very lesser. Like they're way behind wizards and stuff. But I think they've been able to. Not. I thought it was cleric spells. Is it cleric
ranger
spells?
Ranger spells.
Yeah, I think they have.
Oh,
their
they're
own
specifically
specific
ranger
set of skills
spells
in this one.
Oh, nice. That's.
But
new,
they. Then. They do have some crossover. Like they have.
Yeah.
They could be ranger and whatever, so you know they do have some sort of crossover.
I think I think for the most part they share a spell pool with druids and nature clerics in this one.
Nature clerics as well. Yeah. I can't have any cantrips though, so that's still can't have any of that just for clarification. So that sucks. But anyway,
yay, secondary spell.
By the way, how many... It doesn't say anywhere in here. I had that question. How many spells can I cast a day? One is... How many? One? Two?
On the left-hand side of your spellcasting page, there will be a spells per day.
At level...
Three, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, level three, you can do three first-level spells. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I just found it just then. Just then. So the three spells I chose, where are the descriptions? My first one is Hail of Thorns. It is a ranged weapon within 5 feet of the target, and it is a 1d10 pierce damage with half dex save.
Wow. Okay.
So.
It's not bad.
It's pretty cool. Again, I have a limited selection of what I can
What's the range on that again? 5 feet?
5 feet.
Yes. Okay, so it can only hit one enemy. Okay.
You can only hit one enemy, which we'll get to that in a sec. My second spell is Speak with Animals.
That won't let you speak with animals.
Yes!
So next time there's a bear in a cage, you can talk to it?
Yes, but only for 10 minutes.
Only for 10 minutes.
Only for 10 minutes.
You become best cast. Friends with the bear in 10 minutes, and at minute 11 you want to maul your face again.
Yeah, I can translate please for the bear.
It's like pushing daisies. You can talk
exactly.
to people. But
exactly.
only for 1 minute.
10 minutes.
Tick 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 tick. Oh yeah, you get an extra 9 minutes, that's nice. I'll set the timer.
9 minutes.
It's because they're alive, not dead.
You can do a lot in 9 minutes. But anyway.
God, this is a good show.
Me too. Me too, man. Me too.
Watch that movie again. Yeah.
Movie?
My third one is... TV show, rather. Sorry. My third one is Cure Wounds.
Yay!
Yay! Yay! I don't have to be the only one anymore.
I saw that in there.
I was totally also casting Cure Wounds. I just ran out of spells.
I thought that would be handy to have, of course, you know, more
yes,
people to...
You were correct.
Yeah. I thought that was the smartest move
I
made.
You could take a when you could take a chance to get something like that and not have it be a punishment against you, like multi-classing in the cleric or something, then it's a good idea to get it.
Yeah.
Multi-classing, I've never been used to.
I saw that pop up in the list of... How many did I have to choose from? Not that much. I think I only had to choose with 8 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Paladin and Ranger are probably pretty similar in that you get to choose a subset 7, 8, of the 9, of the list. 10, 11, 12,
13, 14. Yeah, 14 spells. But some of them were really obnoxious, though. I mean, I could have chosen the fog one as well. I chose not to. I could have chosen to jump. I could have chosen to jump. That would have been handy.
And well, just to be clear, we didn't have any conversation before, like, what skills we were picking.
Not at all.
We didn't fix any of this to, like, complement each other. We just...
Well, the problem is you could certainly learn spells specifically, but I don't know that in character there is a way for, like, Driku and Dahlgren to actually know that. Because as far as we're concerned, these are spells bestowed upon us by our god.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like, we don't actually choose them. So, our players choose them, but, in character, I'm not sure how the two characters would sit down. I mean, you could see the stuff that we have done and learn a specific spell, but it's hard to determine that.
It's pretty much character knowledge and player knowledge at the same time.
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and it is based off character knowledge. Classes like mine, we can't go and learn spells from a book. We kind of get them put upon us, if that makes sense.
If I will ever find a book or a scroll that has a spell.
Or isn't made out of paper. But anyway. apart from that, that was one of the most nifty things, too, was the ability to cast spells. That came up, and I went, ooh!
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure where the pool comes from. I'm going to guess it's kind of like a druid's, where you just become
it's like a nature... Yeah, it's cleric and druid nature spells essentially.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take it as kind of like how a druid gains their magic, and just you become so in touch with nature that you just start gaining the ability to.
No, that makes sense. Did you choose your archetype? Hint: you did.
Sure, why not? What?
The hunter thing?
Yeah, the hunter thing, yes. I was getting to that. I feel like.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a hunter archetype. Thanks for spoiling. Anyway.
It's not like we have a chat that we can talk to each other in.
No,
right?
Not at all.
Slackers.
Slackers. Right. So there's that. The description doesn't say anything too much on that front.
Which did you pick? You didn't actually say.
Hunter.
I did pick Hunter. Because he was discussing the abilities of Hunter.
I know
earlier.
That. They don't know that.
That's true.
Yeah, I said Hunter before. My fighting style that I went with at Ranger level 2 is archery.
+2.
It gains a +2 bonus to attack rolls with ranged weapons. So my lovingly longbow that I love so much and take to bed with me every night, it's now a +7 instead of a +5.
Wow. Nice.
So that is...
So please roll above a 10 and you'll probably hit.
That's
the problem. You still have to not roll a 2 or a 4, which
It's less embarrassing that way, because if I do roll a 2, then it bumps it up to at least a 9. So
which misses everything. Ten is like you're wearing not you. Like I'm bare chested and not a barbarian. That is a 10 armor class.
10 armor class, but still, it makes it more probable, which is what I was going for. There it was like
very much so.
At least
I find it. Really interesting that CJ's really quiet. He's taking battle notes on how he's going to make
battle notes.
No, I'm.
I'm designing
the next encounter.
Yeah.
So.
Next up, I
Immune to fire.
Primeval awareness. The next one that I have. For 1 minute per level of spell slot expanded, sense whether creatures are present within 1 mile.
Whoa.
I'm just reading as it says. Anyway.
Alright, so read that again.
As an action, expand one ranger spell slot to focus your awareness on the region around you. For 1 minute per level of spell slot expanded, sense whether creatures are present within 1 mile or six okay. miles in favored terrain.
Okay, so what that is basically you're going to choose a favored terrain. Choose your favorite terrain. You could be forest,
which
caves, whatever you
forest,
want.
Forest, I think.
Forest? Okay. So
grassland, sorry. Grassland.
Sorry. Okay. So what that basically grassland. Is you take one of your spells, you quote-unquote cast a spell, which allows you to basically gain daredevil sense of anything around you. A mile
okay.
with you not being in your area, with you not being in your favorite area, 6 miles if you are. Basically, you just yep. become so in tune with nature, you can pick out where things are. It allows you to track yep. your prey. Basically, you do become Daredevil for a minute.
Right. And I got to choose my favorite creatures, because that's fun.
Or your
yeah,
least
favorite. Enemy, sorry. My least favorite. Yeah, favorite enemy. Is that makes sense. And I chose undead in that sense.
Wow.
Favorite enemies.
I approve.
My hunter ranger features. Hunter's prey is Horde Breaker. Yeah.
Okay.
Which
I approve of
I
that
did,
one.
I did decide to go that despite CJ's making notes of not putting two enemies beside each other, but probability says that that's going to happen regardless. But anyway,
especially considering your cleric just took an ability to move things around the board the way that he wanted to.
Ah, see, there you go. Just to read out what that does is, once on each of your turns, you can make a weapon attack. So say, for example, yeah, with a kind of, you know, a longbow, for example. You can make another attack with the same weapon against a different creature as long as they're within 5 feet of the original target and within the range of your weapon.
So in other words, if there are two guys standing next to each other on the map, you can shoot them both.
Yes.
Correct. And Which as long cool. as they are... Yeah, it is cool, and it has to be within range of my weapon, so I don't have to be there either if I'm shooting from a distance.
Yes, that sounds like a good...
Yes.
We have faced many enemies, so yes, that sounds definitely like a good...
Yeah, thing. And my range is 150 on the longbow, so...
Yes.
You know.
So we're just good.
Putting that out there.
Easily across the map.
Yeah, so...
150. I think, yeah, that sounds good. I think we can do something
sounds,
with that.
That sounds pretty good. With the... I'm all over the map, sorry. I'm trying to read upwards. Back to the favorite terrain. Yeah, okay. Back to the favorite terrain for a second. When making an intelligent or wisdom check related to the favored... I was going to say flavored. Favored terrain... Your proficiency bonus is doubled if you're using a skill that you're proficient in.
Oh, so if you're in grasslands, you're very good at the things you do.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay.
While traveling for an hour or more in the favored terrain, I gain the following benefits. Different terrain doesn't slow down your group's travel.
Wow.
Your group... I don't know. Well, you know. I don't know how that would work. I don't know how it would slow down group's travel, but anyway. Your
if,
group
for example,
can't
you
become...
go from grasslands to tundra, tundra is going to slow you down.
Or grasslands to cavelands, for example. That as well. Well, you know...
Cavelands?
Cavelands.
Cavelands, where the goblins dwell. Well, that's Stonehenge.
Your group doesn't become lost by magical means?
I cannot cast a spell at you and make you forget your where you're at.
Yes. Yes.
We'll do that by ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, you can't set me on. Actually, you can't set me on fire. Never mind. even when you're engaged in another activity while traveling, you remain alert to danger.
Okay.
If you're traveling alone, you can move more stealthily at a normal pace.
Ooh.
This is also helpful. That is also helpful.
As long as it's just you, because the rest of us are loud as hell. So, if you're scouting ahead, that'll be useful.
When you forage, you find twice as much food as you normally would. So I find twice as much food in Grassland than I would anywhere else.
If your DM cared enough to keep track of that whole thing, which I really don't.
Well, you really don't. While tracking other creatures, you learn their exact number, sizes, and how long ago they passed through the area.
There you go.
Nice.
That's helpful.
It's going to be a shame if he burns your grasslands down.
Yeah, that wasn't well. I didn't think that out, did I?
Oh, man.
Quite
I said I was sorry.
It was either grasslands or forest was my short list, but...
Both burn
forest.
Well.
I
no, no. Grasslands fine.
Forest does burn better, so that's why I went with grassland. Anyway... The undead enemies gives me an advantage on wisdom checks to favored enemy and intelligent checks to recall information about them. So whenever we're facing an undead enemy, I can use a wisdom check to basically track the enemy and an intelligent check to recall information about the enemy.
Okay.
So, I'm just trying to see if I've got anything else. I don't think I do.
Hunted up hunter?
Doesn't say anything in the descriptions here about hunter itself. Just the it says that the fact that I am a hunter and my first thing is hunter's prey, which is the horde breaker.
Okay.
Yes.
So, that's what it says on the description here, unless there is something that's in like the book or something that I'm in research on.
Alright, Dale became a completely
the primate
new
color.
Now, exactly. Without going into any deep thought about this, why would your character do this?
Well, see, my character has always been fond of protecting and caring for people beneath him, and he's always been kind of aiming to become like an archer all his life kind of thing. So this is just the perfect opportunity to become more proficient in that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no. As a Wingenazi, that kind of goes right up your alley, you know. You practice all your life with a bow. It's just natural that you continue that path.
Continue that path. And also, that is the way that the family has protected people and they've always hunted with for food and resources with arrows as well. So it's kind of following within family footsteps as well.
There you go.
So that's why the character would follow in that direction to kind of bring, you know, follow on the family's kind of reputation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
In saying that, he's nervous that, you know, he's going to bring shame to the family if he doesn't perform well in the upcoming fights and performs badly as kind of going down the archer road, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
So, yes. That was the thinking behind it anyway.
Okay, no, that's why I asked you that question.
Yeah, it kind of get now really being shoehorned, not shoehorned into a particular path, but it kind of is becoming more specialized.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
Yeah, and I totally didn't do that because you're super quiet about how your character acts. So, hey, Dave, yeah. Start RPing more.
I know.
All right, now, anything else on your character?
No, that's about it. That's
all right. Andy!
Everything I get.
Dun-dun-dun-dun!
So, I am a... I thought before last session that I was going on a different path, but Bahamut spoke to Dahlgren and told him he spent a lot of time in the temple after the death of our companion, Wizard, and he has sacrificed some of his own purity and divinity to make sure he can be an effective hand of Bahamut's wrath at this point.
Bahamut's all like, hey, dog, I heard that a bunch of people are dying, and these guys all suck ass. So, you should be better at smashing their faces in.
What?
So, I've become a little more inward, a little darker. I have taken the Oath of Vengeance. So... The Oath of Vengeance basically is a solemn commitment to punish those who have committed a grievous sin. When evil forces slaughter helpless villagers, when... No. You didn't do it on purpose. So basically, it's I'm going to deliver justice, and I don't much care if, like, human law, that's great, but that doesn't really concern me anymore. I am delivering the justice of Bahamut, which is above, you know, man's law. I can basically now and again I can either essentially terrify someone. So I hold my, you know, holy symbol up and
boogie, boogie, boogie.
Ability. Yeah, and it will they are terrified of me and will basically take disadvantage on any attack or skill or spell roll until I am no longer in line of sight. So they're terrified. Or I can do a vow of enmity, which for lack of a better term, so when I'm attacking someone, I swear an oath on them, like that I'm going to put them down, and I gain advantage on that roll when I do so.
For those who played 4th edition, basically Andy is going the route of an Avenger as opposed to a straight paladin.
Yes.
Which is fine.
I'm angry. This is my first time really out of the, you know, cloisters of the hall and doing stuff around town, and character is pretty angry that things have gotten this bad. Like, oh, random people are just being attacked by things. And I'm
probably
gonna
seeing
stop
a little girl almost get killed. I would imagine, and I'm not speaking for your character, but I would imagine the seeing that little girl being punished like that and being tortured like that,
yeah,
it probably did something to your cloistered little brain.
Something snapped. And now I have heard... just FYI, out of character for people to know, I'm no longer lawful good because I saw that lawful good allowed this to happen, and so I have drifted off of that path. And I'm still good, but I'm not lawful good anymore. But Bahamut has given me permission to do this.
Yeah, and Andy came to me. He's like, "Hey, would this be okay?" I'm like, "Well, what would your character do about it? Because if you can justify it into your character, that's really all that matters."
And then I hit him with a paragraph.
Yep.
Yeah.
I read about half of it, and I'm like, "All right, fine. No,
fine. It's fine. Jeez.
So,
yeah.
Too much text.
So I am now. That leveling up, as I can still heal. That is one of the spells I have chosen to be in my casting things, but that is probably not what my magic is going to be used for in general.
No, so probably not.
It will be interesting to see how Yes, as I'm avenging. It's like, excuse me. I'm gonna avenge you. Hope that's okay.
Oh no, my teammate died. Time to avenge. You should heal me. I have like a hit point left. Time to avenge.
No, I can still heal.
Got run over by a wagon. Avenge.
There's two other people that can heal you.
But no, and avenge. Remember, if I'm standing somewhere near you and someone attacks you, I can help you. So I'm not. I am going to be more offensive, but I'm going to, you know, use my skills as I should use my skills.
Yes.
How would your skills affect me? That's what I'm worried.
Quit setting your friends on fire, and you won't have to be avenged upon.
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, if your path is righteous, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Don't worry about that.
Ignore that message I sent you, CJ.
Oh, God.
Joking.
Uh-oh. Wait, aren't you sleeping together within the week?
Yes.
You be careful now. Okay. Just putting that out there. Sorry. I apologize.
So, what spells... Are you still have the same spells that you had last time?
Yeah, I basically can cast one more a day.
Okay.
So,
cool.
But I do have spells that I never need to prepare. So I have Protection from Evil and Good, which I can cast on someone, and basically I specify a type of thing like elemental or undead, and they get advantages on rolling saving throws and stuff against that type of enemy. I also have... Oh, wait. Nope. That's the old type. Sorry, I don't have that spell. Ignore that. I can prepare it, but I don't have it offhand. I have Bane, which I can cast at things, and if they fail a charisma saving throw, then they roll a d4, and that subtracts from the attack roll they made. So if they, like, roll a hit, and it's just barely a hit, I can cast this spell, and it will stage down however many they roll.
Nice.
And I have Hunter's Mark, and if anyone has played WoW, it's essentially like that. Like, I believe I do slightly more damage to it, so I can, you know, make the mark jump from thing to thing, and it will help the party take that particular target down.
Yeah, it's a very good archetype. I actually really like that one. It goes it goes into the Avenger and kind of the Blackguard for the older classes than the traditional Mr. Righteous Paladin, but I like it. I like that a lot. Whenever I make a paladin, I tend to roll the strong arm paladin as opposed to the shield paladin.
Yes. No, I went with shield because originally I was going to go down the path of devotion, and that totally fits. But
yeah.
I'll roll with it. Like, things change. Wow.
The one thing that I love, and I need to look to see if you're ever able to change your favorite enemy or not, because I love when players do reactionary things. Hey, we've been facing a lot of undead because you were facing a necromancer.
Yep.
However, Andy nailed it when the name of the clans you are fighting is Elemental Evil.
Yeah. Mm. They're just preying upon people who can't defend themselves, and that ain't happening.
Dale, so, since I gave Raul a freebie, change your favorite enemy to Elemental.
Okay. I don't want a freebie. Don't feel like I'm priming for a freebie, but I'll take it.
Also keep in mind, at 6th level, you choose a second one, too.
Exactly.
So you can change it temporarily, or, you know, change it, and then add the one that you had before, and then at level 6, you'll be squared up again.
Yeah.
And you also get one at 14. Like, we're going to live that long. Yeah, right.
I cannot choose Elemental. It's not on the list.
Oh.
It is on the list.
What's on your list?
Oh, is it? In terms of ease, I got Eladin or Elf.
Oh, no, that's race.
That's race.
Favorite enemy is Beast, Celestials, don't pick Celestials. I'm just letting you know. You're going to have a serious problem with two people in the party if you pick Celestials. Constructs, Dragons, Elementals, Fey, which you also probably shouldn't pick.
Yeah, I didn't scroll up enough. Never mind.
Oh, okay, you found it.
I found it.
I wouldn't pick Dragons either.
I wouldn't pick Dragons either. There might be... I won't choose Friends either.
Here there be Dragons.
Friends, my favorite enemy is Friends.
Is a friend. I can screen share it if you like.
It's
favorite enemy for Celestials means you would attack gods, right?
Well, I can't choose fire.
Angelic creatures, which, yeah, you'd probably have something of a problem with the big angry paladin and the cleric.
There might be angels who are fallen but not have went to demonhood yet, they would still be celestial.
Right, but I'm going to say in general...
In this game, no. I can tell you now that is not going to happen in this game. I think there is a chained angel eventually, but I don't even know. I think that guy's completely optional. So it would never behoove you to pick Celestial in this game. That being said, if it were my game, I like using those kind of things. I like saying, hey, here's an angel. You have to fight it. I just did that this weekend with my other group.
By the way, I don't get anything additional for changes to elementals. I still get advantage on wisdom, tracking them in intelligence to recall information.
Against
just putting that out there.
So against elementals.
Yeah, that I think that will come up and be handy. Yes. Is what I think.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, I was begging for it, but sure, why not?
Well, no, I mean, when the characters were rolled up, we didn't have a clear indicator, so
I didn't know it's good indicator.
Anyway, also, that's a bit of a
factor. I'm not gonna lie, I barely had the book and had not really cracked it when I'm like, hey, let's play this game. So,
yeah, right. Oh well.
So yeah, that's just a it's just me being like, hey, I'm gonna give you guys a little bit of something because this is not my game.
Well, and also that, yeah, they're like you didn't know further down. Now you have a little more idea of what's going to happen, and the players have more idea of what's going on, I think.
Yes. Mm. So I think that really there's going to be some pretty big surprises coming up on our next game session.
We'll find angels.
Yes, we're fighting angels. Bahamut has turned against you. What do you do? He's like, yo, dog, you didn't have
angels and water elementals.
God, the two of the four of us are in trouble. But anyway, that's
so okay. Is the next game session on the 9th or the 16th?
The 17th, which is the Thursday.
Or 17th, yeah. Sorry, not the 16th.
No, all right. So, and we'll get it. We'll go over this a little bit more here. We'll go ahead
was there
and
anything
wrap
else
up and get to the other part of it. Because I don't want to get too far into what we're actually going to be doing in that, because I'm going to open my big fat mouth. And there's a big surprise coming that I don't want to reveal on the level 3 special. Next week, I'm going to take over Jazz's next time on here. Next week, unless Dale, it's Andy, time. And Jazz want to do a show, Raul and I are not going to be here because we are going to Dragon Con the next day.
I'm going to be a Zambi all next week because I'm working overnight on Monday.
Unless Dale and Jazz want to do like a small screen spoiler show or something like that, there's no show next week. It's Labor Day weekend. Y'all can take it off.
Sweet.
Okay. All right, Dale, you just watch all of Mr. Robot and we'll talk about that.
Oh my god, that show.
Okay. I'm okay with this.
Oh, dude, yeah, you will be. Trust me. If you do that, honestly, okay. You will not be sorry for it.
Are you caught up yet, CJ?
Fantastic. I have to watch episode 9 and then 10 next week when it comes out.
Is all of Mr. Robot online?
If you have a cable subscription that you can sign into USA.com, you can watch all of the episodes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
I do not.
Oh, yeah. I'll get with you.
Proxfian.com. Oh, will you? Oh, hey now.
So the week after that, Raul and I are going to do Dragon Con wrap up. So it might end up just being me and Raul on, unless the other guys want to come. During the weekend, I'm going to try and post probably overnight some stuff that we're going to record. I'm going to try and do at least a Periscope a day while I'm there, probably on the train ride to Dragon Con, because it's a 40-minute train ride, and if I have good enough signal through the entire time, we'll do a Periscope of on the train to Dragon Con. And then we're going to do big, huge, what we did, what we enjoyed, and everything like that on the 9th, 10th, 9th, no.
10th. See? Told you 9th was easier.
That's August, the 10th.
So, yeah, next week's the 3rd, so that's the 10th.
Yes, and then on the 17th is the next... That is going to be the opening of Chapter 2 of the Mana Pool. And then we'll go from there.
And then we'll go from there. Because who knows?
So before I hit the button for what's going on next, remember you can always reach the show at twitter.com/geekioshow, facebook.com/geekioshow, email is geekioshow@gmail.com. You can call us. Please call us. I'll play it on the air. 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. Also, remember, we record Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern over at geek-io.net/live. And Everett, you can listen on all of the things. TuneIn.alphageekradio.com or diamondclub.tv. And now, for the final time this year... I'm gonna hit probably the wrong button.
Push the button, Frank.
That's the wrong
the
button.
The Summer Movie that SmackDown Update!
Told you I was gonna hit the wrong button. Alright, so... This is the final Summer Movie SmackDown Update for 2015. First off, we're going to do, like we have done in the past, the awards. Now, I put a little inclusion on here, and I think going forward we're going to do this. Wild cards will not be in the awards, because we didn't bid for them. It not really is fully fair one way or the other. So, that being said... Coming as no surprise to anybody, highest grossing Jurassic World with $445 million.
Is that only in the 2 weeks? Or
yes,
is like
only
it?
2 weeks.
Only with R. This is only something that's calculated in R.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
The low, and that was Mara who had that one. And taking, I think he has won this 100% of the time. Lowest grossing,
selfless,
making $11.5 million. Barely edging which out, what was
vacation.
That one? Dope.
Dope.
The best value, again, coming as no surprise, Jurassic World netting Mara $14.9 million.
With one movie.
The worst value, speak of the devil, dope.
So dope.
From Jazz.
Dope.
Making a cool $1 million.
$1 million. $1 million dope should be a movie. It should be a movie.
Yeah,
we've had worse.
Yeah, we have had worse, and it's been mine. Freaking Inherent Vice.
Inherent Vice. Wow. That's a throwback.
Oh, Inherent Vice.
And also
so epic.
Fucking epic. Fucking epic.
What is that movie?
I forgot about epic.
It's a good movie. I've seen it. I enjoy it. But damn, that hurt.
Nobody saw that
Epic
movie.
On DVD.
Freshest, we have a tie. The two ladies taking it home. Inside Out and Mad Max Fury Road making 98%.
Did you hear what I said? What I heard, right?
Yeah, we all heard it.
Yes, but it's because of what that's what I said. And the most rotten, again, I'm pretty sure he's taking this 100% of the time. Dale with Hot Pursuit with 6%.
Six.
They all kept so
even hard. Less than Fantastic Four. That's pretty impressive.
Dope. Oh, and
hey, Dope got Dope did well in Rotten Tomatoes. It got like 90 or something like that.
What?
it's just
Fletcher.
Fletcher talks.
Oh, okay. Fletcher exploring new sounds.
And so that brings us to our final standings for the Summer Movie Smackdown. Oh, that worked out well. Anna Monoguchi picked up when I'm doing this. Mara taking the cup, $29.6 million. Jazz, not as far behind as we thought he was going to be, with $29.3 million. I came
out of town.
Where in the middle?
$2 wild card.
Yeah, $2. OP. Third place, myself, with $20.5 million. Fourth place, Dale, with a respectable $20.2 million. And then the three people that got less than Jurassic World brought in Mara. Marlissa with $12.9 million.
But one movie beat me.
Lots of one movies beat you, Raul.
Oh,
yeah. You're a wild card either.
Bud Long brought in $12.7 million. And Raul taking the last place, the epic womp womp womp, with $10.9 million.
So I have to say,
during the winter and take this whole game.
Yeah, Dale, yes. Considering you got two of the worst categories, I'm pretty impressed you still got four.
Last year, he got all of the negative ones in freaking American Sniper.
Oh,
I won by like $50 million, too.
Yeah, because he paid like $10 for American Sniper and it made $300 million.
Everyone laughed at me. Everyone's like, who was
he literally, with that one movie, we had to add up the rest of us to get to his amount. And just
he made like $30 million on one movie.
That's value, by the way.
So we're gonna be back in probably early October to do the winter, which of course has the giant juggernaut known as Star Wars in it. But thankfully, unlike Night Attack, in our game, we don't really need to worry about it because considering I've restricted the rules so much that it really is, it's not going to be any worse than American Sniper or Jurassic World.
No, it should be about the same.
Depending on
just
how
gotta make sure somebody, just make sure somebody buys it for like 60 plus.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can just keep jacking up the price to 70 or something, yeah, you'll be fine. Cause
and not $8 like American Sniper.
We didn't do our research on that one. We didn't do our research on American Sniper.
And wins you the draft is that if it makes $2 billion opening week.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, and also, remember, that's not the only huge movie opening up this winter. There's actually quite a bit of stuff opening up.
There's that that Hunger Games finale.
Yeah, that
I think that's kind of a big deal.
Hunger Games. Just an idea of some of the things that we could be opening, that we could be betting on. Depending on when we start it, we could be doing Pan again.
Alvin and the Chipmunks 4.
Alvin and the Chipmunks 4.
Wait, there was an Alvin and Chipmunks 2?
Gem and the Holograms.
Gem and the Holograms.
Gem and the
Holograms. So terrible.
That's mine.
The Peanuts movie. A James Bond movie is coming out in
with Spectre.
I'm so sick of James Bond.
It's so good,
like, the last movies are fine if they're not James Bond movies. Like, it's a spy movie. That's great. That would be fantastic. But it's not a good... They haven't been good James Bond movies.
I've enjoyed them.
The last one I actually got bored at.
Though, you're kind of right. I watched Man from U.N.C.L.E. recently, and that movie, like, captures 80s Bond and just makes it so... Like, it reminds you of... So, like, what you loved about the 80s Bond, from the campiness of it to the actual spy in it. You have The Good Dinosaur, a Pixar movie coming out again. Victor Frankenstein with Daniel Radcliffe in it.
Hey, we've already done one Frankenstein movie. That didn't do so well. Hey, let's do another one. That'll be good.
Wait, I'm Frankenstein performed okay. Coming out during winter called Krampus?
Yes. It makes me so excited. Not that it's not going to make anybody, but I love the story of Krampus. It's so great.
And Christmas time, perfect time.
Well, yes. it's anti-Santa Claus. He takes the little children who have been bad and either punishes them, or if they've been really bad, kills them.
Well, yeah.
We had Unbroken open at Christmas time last year, so there's that.
Isn't there another Tarantino really movie coming at Christmas? Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah. That might be Thanksgiving.
No, it's limited on Christmas. Kind of like how Django opened up on Christmas on a limited release. The official one came out in January. You have the Snowden movie. You have the Point Blank remake. Or Point Break.
The Goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
The Goosebumps movie.
That movie looks so weird. Have you guys
seen Peter Pan movie?
Have you seen the previews for Goosebumps?
Yeah, it looks weird.
Yes.
It's so weird. But the thing is like, it started off... I'm such a Night Attack nerd. It started off and... Jack Black goes, "I'm R.L. Stein," and in the middle of the theater, I go, "I live alone!
I smoke a lot of weed!
I smoke poorly rolled blunts while sitting in my hot tub." But Rachel
with the telescope, I can watch.
Rachel
the
looks
children.
At me when I go, he goes, "I'm R.L. Stein," and I go, "I live alone!" And Rachel kind of looks at me. Like, sorry, force of habit.
I wonder if someone hasn't already photoshopped in a jury as R.L. Stein.
It would
that movie
not surprise me.
The trailer.
Peanuts movie. Oh my god. Really? Okay. Alright, so that's kind of just a sneak peek of what we're going to do with that. That's not including 2016's movies. Because remember, the winter goes into 2016. Just kind of looking over it, a movie called Dirty Grandpa.
that sounds classic. Like I'm not going to ever see.
It sounds like it's going to be the most rock Panda movie 3. Of the year. Kung Fu Panda 700's 3. Coming out. Yeah, that's exciting.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Are they making a sequel to White House Down? Or Olympus Has Fallen?
London Has Fallen. I don't know if that's supposed to be a...
London Has Fallen.
I'm guessing so.
It's got Gerard Butler in it.
February 12th.
Deadpool
on the 12th of February. Right in time for Valentine's Day, I guess?
What?
Yeah, clearly.
And also, really for some unknown reason, Zoolander 2.
I think it'll be fun. It'll be totally nostalgia trip.
Ben-Hur.
It sounds like we're going to have a lot of our expensive movies.
They're making a sequel to Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, London Has Fallen.
London Has Fallen. Wow.
I thought that was just a coincidence, but no, it actually is.
Kung
Fu Panda 3.
Yeah. We might go into April on this one. We try not to.
Nut Job 2.
Nut Job 2? I mentioned that earlier.
Nut Job was cute. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't go see it in the theater, but when it was on free on Netflix, I watched it.
Yeah, I watched it with my daughter. It was alright. Batman versus
Superman in the end of March.
Yeah, that's going to be another one that we have to take into consideration.
Oh, I thought that was...
Yeah, we might go to the end of March.
Deadpool in February.
Jazz is just now catching up. There's a Ratchet and Clank movie coming out?
I got distracted.
So how about that Star Wars movie? Is that coming out at any point? No, I'm just kidding.
We might not go into April because I was looking at it. There's not a lot opening up in April according to firstshowing.net. Jungle Book, live action Jungle Book.
You want to just finish with Batman v Superman?
Yeah, I think Batman v Superman is going to be our big one. Because then in summer, we have to pretty much start up in May. Because May 6th, this Civil War.
Angry
Birds? Start with a Marvel movie. It's traditional.
The Avengers 2.5.
Why is Angry Birds
Avengers.
A thing?
Angry Birds the movie. You didn't realize I'm making an Angry Birds movie?
I did not know that. No. Why are we getting Angry Birds the movie?
Because we had Angry Birds, the comic book, because that was fun for about
next
5 seconds.
Next summer's going to be an interesting one. If nothing gets pushed back, Captain America, Friday the 13th.
Neighbors 2? Really?
X-Men Apocalypse.
Yep.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, which I liked the first one.
I did too. And Finding Bebop and Rocksteady is supposed to be in the second one.
Yeah, Rocksteady, Bebop, and Arrow. Steve Amell is in it as freaking Casey Jones.
Oh, no.
Yeah!
Independence Day Resurgence?
Yep.
What?
Star Trek what? Beyond yes, next summer. Sequel. Ghostbusters. Ice Age, the 700th.
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft. Oh, yeah, wow.
Seriously, how many...
Thing?
Untitled
That's coming out the
Star
week
Trek Beyond.
Before Finding Dory. Ouch.
Finding Dory. Ooh.
Well, I mean, hey, man, I think it was through 2017, Disney's releasing 20 movies.
Yes.
Or it's like 18 or something. It's ridiculous. Because they own so many studios now that
there's a,
because they
hold
own
on. Breaking news,
Star Wars.
There's a movie coming out on August 12th. 2016, alongside Pete's Dragon, yes, that Pete's Dragon, called Sausage Party.
It's an animated movie.
I don't even know what is happening here. Paul Rudd and Danny McBride.
Is that
Paul
DreamWorks? Or
freaking
is that Pixar?
Rudd is in this movie.
Sausage Party.
Sausage?
In Sausage Party. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Seth Rogen. It's a Seth Rogen movie. It's an R-rated comedy. There's going to be all sorts of dick jokes in this one. Jonah Hill, Kristen Wiig, Salma Hayek, Ed Norton, Michael Cera, Bill Hader, James Franco, Craig Robinson, Paul Rudd.
Should
Dan
I really
McBride.
Put Sausage Party into Google?
Yeah, save search. Really? Make sure save search is on.
Yeah, it's an animated movie. So there's that overrated animated movie named Sausage Party.
Hey, there's a salt shaker with a cowboy hat on. Now I'm sold.
I'm sold.
Born Again, 2 Marvel movies next year? No, 3. My bad. Civil War, X-Men, and...
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
If you're going for just plain out Marvel movies, you're getting the normal 2. You're getting Doctor Strange and Captain America. If you're going for all of them, Deadpool, X-Men Apocalypse, Gambit...
Gambit.
Yep, and in October with Channing Tatum, and I'm okay with this as long as.
Okay.
You got some good movies coming out in 2016. I didn't realize all these movies were coming out next year, but
Underworld 5.
Underworld 5. So that's what
they're
expecting
next. It's
the
first animated movie. Sorry, go on.
Jazz. What's been going on over at the Geek.io Network?
Well, over at the Geek.io Network, the generic live show hovers over the sidelines like a tiny baby fish vampire thing.
Yay, I made him read it!
How does Super Mario Brothers stack? How does it stack? Maybe you should listen to how it stacks, because I think they stack.
It's a classic JD rage in that show. So there's
roar.
Oh, nice. I haven't listened to it yet. Life of an Accounting Droid discusses materiality.
Oh. Also, please remember to visit our Patreon site over at patreon.com/geekio to help us out with a small monthly donation to help fund our sausage party. If you think we're worth $5 for all of our content, we'll give you, your site, cause, whatever, a shout out at the top of the show. If you think we're worth $10 or more, we'll give your sausage party a plug on the show.
Sure. I can't believe that's a thing.
It's a thing. It's the internet.
Wait, it's going to be an R-rated animated show? Yep. Or animated
yes,
movie?
Taking place in a grocery store, according to the IMDb.
Oh my god. Ugh. And we thought Pixels was bad, guys.
With a salt, with a salt shaker that has a cowboy hat on. However, continue.
Yeah, and if you want to hear us on Stitcher Radio, search for Geek.io to help us out if you do, as well as iTunes. Be sure to leave us an honest review, and we'll gladly read it on the show.
Alrighty. Show title candidate time. The Geek.io Show, episode 119, Manipul 6. You can now take care of your fartcast. You're going to get fired. A giant tube of
tube?
Novelty D4.
There you go.
Bob, what were you reading?
I'm distracted by sausage party. Constitutional bonus. Thunder next to your face. What the hell? Necromancy, TM. It's still a magic. Welcome to Cavelands. Then I hit him with a paragraph. He is an angel. You have to fight it. And CJ rediscovers BGM.
No, I listen to that every time he puts out a new show. I don't know what you're going to talk about.
you rediscover it every single time.
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh! We are in our preliminary. We are at a tie.
Yeah, it's up to Raul.
It's up to Raul.
I don't know.
This is great thinking music. Yeah. By the way, which one will I pick?
Yay! I mean, boom. The constitutional bonus is our title. All right, folks, on that note, and on the trumpets of Andrew Allen's Live from the Cantina, now on sale, this has been Geek.io. We wish you a farewell, and I'm not at all stalling until I get to the correct page.
I wish you a Merry Christmas.
And a happy new year, and see you in 2 weeks. Or see you at Dragon Con. If you see it as Dragon Con, come say hi. Seriously. Come hang out. Bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
This has been a Geek.io production.
Copyright 2015.
Geek.io. Geek and Geek